Of course, you've just heard the news there that today you'll get a $230 million plan to bolster our cyber defences. When you talk cyber defence and you talk cyber security, there's no better person to get you through it than Stilgherrian, who joins us this morning. Stilgherrian, very good morning to you.
Good morning, Richard. That's very kind of you.
Well, it is indeed. I mean, I have the worst possible security personally, and I'm glad that people like you are at least protecting me nationally.
It's a lot easier to talk about than actually do it.
Well, and indeed, how hard is it to do cybersecurity? We've got a new strategy released today. The Prime Minister spends $230 million on that. When you look at the basics of it, what does it mean for us? And can you actually make your country cyber secure with that sort of money?
Look, we can argue about whether the money is enough or not. If we kind of look at the scale of the problem and then put it into context, we have seen in recent years quite significant growth in the number of incidents we see and their severity, both from a criminal point of view and from a national security point of view. So we do hear about nation-state hackers, which are basically the spy agencies getting high-tech, and the criminals are getting high-tech too. And in certain kinds of attacks against Australian companies, the Australian Federal Police said only last week that they've seen ransomware and such like double in the last few months. Just an enormous growth in that. And it's that constant grinding down of costs against businesses and then the risk of our military and national defence secrets being stolen or, in the case of conflict hotting up, of systems being disrupted and so on. It's that whole swathe of issues that we need to better protect ourselves against.
But when we're talking about, we're talking about spy agencies, when we saw, and the ABC reported on this last year, cyber security breaches into places like the Bureau of Meteorology, they don't seem initially like things that are about the nation state defending itself. These are attacks against high-level government agencies.
Except when you think that breach against the Bureau of Meteorology was announced the week immediately before the climate change talks in Paris, when we were negotiating carbon limits and so on against countries like China. So China would be, of course, interested in what our negotiating position might be, and that would be based on our scientific models of climate change, which is what the Bureau of Meteorology do. The other things they can do with that is that they can get into the Bureau of Meteorology's computers, and then when the weather forecasts go out to our military units, well, that means, one, you can send them false data, or two, that means that you can just use that network connection as a staging point to get into the systems you really want to get to. So all this stuff's very, very subtle.
Stilgherrian is a cybersecurity writer, and you're hearing about it. Of course, if you tune into AM at 8 o'clock, you'll hear the story about cybercrime. One of the quotes in that, and one of the people they speak to, is Dr. Tobias Feakin from the Australian Strategic Policy Institute. Here's a little of what he said, and it's what you just heard in the news a few seconds ago.
For a country like Australia to admit something like that in a public document is a big step, and especially in the region in which we sit. There are many governments developing cyber capabilities, be they offensive or defensive capabilities, but not all will do so within quite a strict understanding of what international law means and the boundaries that actually puts in place.
What he's saying there is that we now have the capability, and we should be telling the outside online world that we can, in fact, attack as well as defend, Stilgherrian.
Well, that's right. And, you know, in the same way that we're seeing an arms race in submarines in the region to, the South China Sea is hotting up as an international political issue. Vietnam's building more submarines, and China is too, modernising its fleet. We need to do that too, because, if something happens, we'll get involved with it. The same applies in the cyber realm, if I can use that terrible expression, that we do know that, this is a real thing. This is how you can harm a nation these days, and we need to be up there. Now, the thing about so many news stories today are leading with this revelation, as they say, that Australia does have an offensive cyber capability. Now, I think it would be naive to believe we've just done that in the last couple of years. It's more than likely that we have had such capabilities for quite a number of years. What we're doing today is announcing that fact to make it very clear that we want to be a player in the region and that we are a player.
Well, we're going to leave it there still, Gary. And of course, you haven't seen the full security document and neither has anyone. We'll find out more as the Prime Minister unveils it a bit later on today. $230 million.
11 o'clock Eastern time.
11 o'clock Eastern time, you will get your cyber security strategy. And it's something that countries at large have to think about. It's a five-tiered plan, includes building a national partnership between government and business, strengthening defences, and appointing an ambassador to push for open, free and secure internet, and to drive innovation through an industry-led growth centre, and also alert the world that, in fact, we can attack them as well as defend ourselves. Stilgherrian, always good to catch up with you. Thanks for your insights.
Pleasure, Richard.
He is a cybersecurity writer. He regularly talks on the ABC, and he might be talking a little bit more as the day goes on.